Welcome to the, well, this isn't just any old podcast. This is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack podcast. Jason, is it Jason?
It is Jared.
I knew it was Jason.
It's Jared.
It's Jared, is it? Well, Jared loves the podcast because he supports it through Kerr's Hire, and we absolutely appreciate that support, King. And today we're going to rip you apart like, do you remember Andre the Giant? On Nikolai Volkov in the Cold War WWF battle. It set it all off.
The Cold War hadn't started.
I think it may have set the old Putin off anyway. He might have it on...
Old Vlad.
Old Putin. He's as mad as a snake, the old Putin. But we're not as mad as snakes, Kingy. The cats...
Well, you can speak for yourself, Benny.
Well, there's a lot to dissect and disseminate.
Yes.
And delve into after round one, Kingy. I have to say... I have never heard so much shit in all my life off the back of one game.
Yep.
Each club's played one game. I've heard things about bloke's going to be the best player in the competition. Geelong were complacent. Brisbane are in trouble.
Asava Radicalea is going to be all Australian.
It's just absolute tripe. Fair income. The hot air that goes around in this sport. I know it creates...
Because they've got to fill column inches and websites and radio space and all that sort of stuff.
Well, you've got to fill inches, Kingy. I'm not sure tripe is the way to be doing it.
No.
To be honest with you.
No.
If you haven't got the inches to start with,
right,
then don't be making them up.
No.
So it's just... Oh, look, honestly, it's been rubbish.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually quite like Kane Corns. I think he's quite good. He's really prepared to say what he thinks. He goes out on a limb. He doesn't get it right all the time, but I actually like that. I just thought he sort of made some comments that Geelong were a bit complacent, I thought, which was one of the comments that I sort of thought of his that wasn't exactly on the mark. Geelong were superb for three quarters. They fell into a chasm. Have you ever fallen into one of those?
No. Tom? The issue with the Cats was, I reckon their accuracy might have...
16-1 to three-quarter time?
Yeah, 16-3 they were.
But 16-1
they were. 16-1 at one stage, yeah. And I reckon that might have just papered over some
I don't know about that. I thought they were actually playing pretty good footy. They were accurate, which helps, no doubt.
Yep.
But I think they're actually playing pretty good footy.
30 scoring shots to 23, Benny.
Yeah, that's not a huge disparity.
It's still seven. It was.
Not
it was.
Many.
It
how
was
many? How many are rushed?
I think Magpies had three rushed in the end. Geelong had. I actually don't think they had a rush behind in the end. They did not. And Collingwood,
I still
Collingwood had three. Yeah.
The flow of the game, though, Kingy. I didn't feel like Geelong were sort of getting beaten. I thought they were more than holding their own. They looked dangerous when they were going forward.
They led by 22.
But when you concede 62 inside 50s to a good team. I think 9.97 times out of 10, you are going to get beaten.
Yeah. Geelong only had 46 inside
50s. Yeah, they did, and they conceded 62. That's a disparity. And a lot of those, I'd like to see the numbers, and I can't think of it, but off the top of my head, the last quarter would have been hugely lopsided. So that probably added to that. Up to a three-quarter time, it probably wasn't a whole lot in it.
Mm.
But there was a fair bit to like about the Cats. We mentioned Radicalea there. I thought he was really good. His athleticism stood out. He's going to be needed this week because I reckon he goes to Curno.
Yeah, no, Stuart.
That's a huge task on Curno.
So he goes to Curno and De Koning goes to Mackay?
Yes, I would have thought. And Sam's okay?
Yeah, he'll play.
Because he didn't look right after he got injured last week. I think he only had one or two possessions after that, which I know his game's not based on possessions, but he actually didn't really even go near the ball after he came back on from that injury. Stengel didn't look 100% right after he got absolutely poleaxed by Jeremy Howe, who's going to miss about 3 months.
What did you read Mark Robertson's column about the duty of care that Jeremy Howe maybe didn't show?
Oh, God. This is some of the tripe that I talk about, Kingy. This is stuff that just, it's mind-boggling. Do you know what else is mind-boggling?
What is mind-boggling?
People who put used matches back in the box. Why would you do that? Anybody who does that, just stop it. Because it's not in the spirit of the game.
Mm. Just a bit of team news is coming through.
Oh, what's the news?
Jack Bowes will play.
Do we need a little sound effect? Can you whiz one in there?
No, I won't.
Yeah, he's going to play.
Cooper White's going to debut.
Oh, right.
Announced it from Grovedale.
Cross halfback.
Follow some great Grovedale names to have played league footy. Going back to...
Mick Schultz.
Mick Schultz.
The Mick Schultz. I don't think we got a Mick Schultz arrangement
we
in there
last
week.
No,
week.
That's very... And do you know what? Sav actually, with a couple of really
shame on
well-timed...
Spoiled. I was rusty.
You were.
Shame on us.
I actually thought you were on I actually thought you were on last.
No, I was on with. I was on just a few bits. You got to sort of tidy up a few things, and obviously not getting a Mick Schultz in that is almost unforgivable. I'm surprised we didn't hear from Mick post game.
Where was my mention?
So Cooper White actually looked. I know, Kingy, it's a big step from a practice match to a home and away game, particularly against a good size like Carlton. But he actually looked pretty good. He only played a half, didn't he, against Brisbane? He was off for the first half and came on in the second half. Mm. I don't recall seeing him a whole lot in the game against Hawthorn.
No, because he didn't play a significant portion of it.
He obviously played reasonably well in the practice match, VFL practice match. Was it a practice match?
The VFL one.
On the weekend.
No, he didn't play Cooper White. Yeah, he did play in that. Yes, sorry, he did. He did play. Okay. Yeah, so, he didn't play a lot in that. I think there was a few, because of the quick turnaround. Bowes, Simpson didn't play massive minutes. So there'll be definitely two changes.
Yep.
Bowes and
Stewart out.
White. Stewart out. Just reading some...
Who else do you think is going to be out?
Brandon Parfitt's probably in a little bit
of... What's happened to Brandon Parfitt?
Five possessions last week and he came onto the ground at quarter time.
He didn't have a kick until, I think, the last quarter.
He didn't have a kick, Ben.
At all?
No.
There you go.
Five handballs.
Yeah, that's mind-boggling. I mean, I've seen him have 30.
Mm.
Yeah, he's had a good preseason.
He looks in good nick.
Where's his footy at?
Mm.
That's not good. So you think he'll go? My thing would be, I don't know if you want to react to one bad game.
Yep.
Because he is an experienced player, albeit
he's not a bad sub to have. He probably just rolls in as the sub again.
Yeah, potentially. That's probably a wise move. But I'd be a little reticent just to sort of throw him out, baby, with bathwater style after one game, because I think
where does that come from? Like, who would actually throw a baby out with the bar? Who came up with that?
Well, I think it means that, you know, if you're inadvertently, if you're in a rush and you just hoist the dirty H2O out without taking your bub out, and then you look out in the lawn and there's bubba rolling around the lawn with the bathwater. That's why I think that's where it comes
from. Yeah, I know. It's not ideal.
No, it wouldn't be ideal. No. Do you know what is an ideal?
What is an ideal?
So cars these days are a little bit different how they used to be, right?
Just
a tad. But my brother, my mum used to have this beast that was a zillion years old.
Mm.
And so there's five kids, and I don't think I was born, actually, so everyone's a lot older than me. I'm the youngest. But they were driving around, and mum went round a corner and, you know, sort of straightened the vehicle up to continue down the road.
I was
going to
say, what's your mum's cornering like?
Oh, look, it's sort of Max Verstappen style.
Right.
She's a late breaker.
Is she?
And my sister said to Mum, Tim's out of the car. Tim flew out of the car while she went round the corner.
Is this pre-seatbelt days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he ended up on the nature strip.
Did he?
Yeah, and Mum didn't know. Unless one of the other siblings actually...
had said something.
Yeah, said, Mum, we need to go back because Tim's not in the car anymore.
He'd still be there. Yeah.
So
he would have been raised by wolves.
Imagine, that'd be end up on the front of the Addy if that happened these days, wouldn't it? Yeah, the times have changed.
So they kicked 8 goals last week, Carlton, in a game against Richmond that was far from a spectacle. It was two contrasting games of football played between Thursday night and Friday night.
Well, I think Geelong, yeah, you're right. It was the Friday night was far more attacking and free-flowing, but I think Geelong would have been a little bit disappointed of their defensive effort last week. The offense was good. Well, three quarters was good. It fell apart in the last quarter. But defensively, to leak 62 into our 50s, and they allowed Collingwood to control the ball too much. I think I mentioned in the post game that Collingwood had about 8 or 9 players that had 20-plus. Geelong had 3.
Yep.
Guthrie, Dangerfield, and one other.
Atkins.
And they weren't really...
So it was Dangerfield, Atkins and Smith.
Their midfield was... I thought their midfield was only just Kingy. Guthrie was well down. I reckon he only had 15 possessions.
So Dacos had 35. That's Nick Dacos. Noble had 29. When does Nick Dacos win a Brownlow? How soon?
Yeah, well, if you let him just run free, he'll win one this year.
Mm. Noble, 29. Dacos, Josh...
Yeah, well, Noble's half back, so that's rebound.
27.
Josh Dacos was rebound, so then you're getting 50-odd possessions from two rebounders.
Degoe, 25. Crisp, 22. Mitchell, 21. McCreary had 20.
And part of the problem for the Cats, Kingy, is that no Stewart means your most attacking defender is not there. My concern this week is that Radigalia is probably concentrating on his defence more than anything. He's not a bloke you want exploding out of the back half with the ball. You want him defending.
You need Busey doing that.
Yeah, but Busey was quiet. He had Elliott to mind, who was good.
And did an Oh, I thought he did an all
he
right
job. He
did
an okay job, but he...
Well, Elliott's kicked, only had 13 possessions and kicked two behinds.
Yeah, Buzy was good, but he probably was more defensive-minded that week.
Yep.
And he's going to probably be the same this week. I mean, his matchup, what, Motlop, maybe?
Yep.
He needs to get involved offensively. So this week, I think the problem, well, a potential problem, Kingy, is Radigalea defensive. De Koning is a fullback who, yeah, he can mark the ball, but he's not really an attacking type defender. He can be and probably will emerge to that, but not right at the minute. You've got...
I reckon Buse goes to
O'Connor.
I reckon Buse will go to Zach Fisher.
Possibly. O'Connor, who's a dour defender. You've got Tui, who probably has to play back. He can be an attacking defender, needs to be attacking,
yep.
And you need Buse to be attacking. Because if I've only got Tui, and who's the other defender? Well, is College Asney coming back?
No.
That's a concern.
Yep.
That's 3 weeks now. That's a concern with a capital K.
Okay. Yep.
Do we spell concern? Do we?
No, we
don't. Can I just say, too, that there was a couple of gags taken out of last week's episode that I was a little bit...
We're working under different management. I just don't want to test them early. You were given a little bit of carte blanche by previous management here.
Yeah.
Current management.
You're the management at the minute.
No. But
the joke I told last week about the kids at school was that was as clean as the proverbial.
No.
Anyway, I just want to let people know that there was a little bit of stuff that got exited out. Which
look, Ben, you can if you want to produce the episode and edit it all up and post it to social media and share it and all that, you can put in it what you like.
Yep.
But until that moment, guess what?
You're doing it.
Yep. Correct.
Right. So you've got.
I've got editorial license.
Okay. Editorial all right. Well, I'll just refrain from any real solid sort of gags. Geelong don't want to produce any gags on Thursday night.
Haven't started 0-2 since 2015.
No.
And missed the finals that year.
Do you think they'll win on for Thursday night?
Yes. I just don't know where Carlton kicks a score. I know they've got talent to kick it, but they only kicked eight goals,
but this week's different. Geelong leaked 62 inside 50s. Mm. If Carlton could get in 62 inside 50s, then... Well, mind you, I think that
Carlton had 45, Richmond had 66.
Yeah, I was going to say Richmond did have a lot of inside 50. So Carlton were beaten in probably general play, you would say, but their defence held up pretty well. Wietering's good. Tommy Hawkins better for the run.
Does Wietering go to...
He goes to Hawkins, doesn't he?
Yeah, so who goes to Cameron?
Well, Mitch McGovern, maybe.
Or the other way around.
Mitch McGovern go to Hawkins? God, no. He's about 194 centimetres and a bit on the skinny side. Wietering's the man for Hawkins.
Yep.
There probably isn't an obvious matchup for Cameron. They've got a little clamp down on Doherty somehow, stop him being the rebounder.
And Saad.
Yeah, look, I thought Saad. I know he got a bit of the boy. He was putrid last week.
He had 7 rebound 50s.
Yeah, I know, but God, he made some mistakes and he had the... brown stripe going in the underpants at one point. He was a very ordinary effort at one point in that game. I thought he was actually poor, Adam Saad, but he does. You're right, Kingy. If they allow Saad and Doherty to do what Josh Dacos and Noble did, they'll be in trouble.
Yep.
So they've got to find a way to nullify that rebound, because I'm not sure Geelong is going to have the same rebound with Stewart, particularly Stewart, out of their defence.
Not as bad as first thought. It'll be a month, so we should see.
Still bad, though. What do we make of that surface? I mean, two injuries have shot off the grassy knoll sort of stuff.
Nobody else really got impacted. Geelong were just unlucky.
Wow, but the surface wasn't ideal, was it?
No, it wasn't 100%. But you lose.
It wasn't even close.
You lose a couple of players to injury. If Geelong don't lose players to injury and win, are we hearing about this?
No, but they did, and they were innocuous where I think you can categorically blame the surface. Mm.
Sam De Koning's was a very interesting one.
That was one of the most bizarre things you'll ever see.
Mm.
So Bowes and White in.
Yep.
So White coming in to play that rebounding role, big ask a kid in his first game, expect him to have an influence.
He's not having it 25 times.
Well, I mean, he might. Because what happens sometimes is players come and play their first game and the opposition should play them absolutely no respect. Mm. Like Sheasel. Mm. He had it 34 times in his first game for North. So I'm not suggesting...
I think very different players. Sheasel's going to be an absolute.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying, Kingy, sometimes players come in for their first game and the opposition don't know who they are. They don't know their name. They don't know what number they wear. And they actually end up getting a bit of it. And White, I reckon, had 10 or 11 possessions in a half against Brisbane, playing across halfback. So that's why they've brought him in, to try and be a creator from halfback, because I think that's one area where they were soundly beaten last week. They didn't have that creativity, and Collingwood did. And Geelong are going to need that this week, because Carlton, like Collingwood, have some players who can hurt you from the back half, namely Doherty and Saad. So that's going to be an area of concern. I thought their midfield was down last week, the Cats. Dangerfield was only just 21 touches, I think 12 of those were effective. Cam Guthrie was certainly well down. Tommy Atkins tried hard, was okay, but didn't have a massive influence on the game. Parfitt was absolutely non-existent. And the other one there, I thought Tanner Bruin was probably close to the best of their midfielders. I think he had 19 possessions in a solid outing. He wasn't a star, but he was solid. Geelong's midfield needs to find a way this week, because up against Cripps, Hewitt, Kennedy, I know they're missing Walsh, but they've still got plenty of blokes who can find the pill. So midfield and rebounding halfback, King, I think, is where they need to find a lift. A London fog lift.
How do you play Cripps?
Well, I don't know that you play him. He's hard to play when he's that size and he goes and wins his own ball. Like, it's almost impossible. But probably nullifying him around stoppages, maybe blitz halves. Just particularly around stoppages, his ability to actually win them and then feed them out. I mean, Cripps isn't a bloke that's going to burst you on the outside. He's an inside player. So if you just nullify his ability to actually win it and then distribute it to people in better positions, I think you've done your job there. In general play, you don't want to... I mean, Blitzarves then could potentially, you know, move off him.
Yep.
So I reckon Blitzarves might be a good one there to take Cripps. If it's not Blitzarves, then Cam Guthrie. But you've got to have eyes on him around the ball, around stoppages, because that's where he does his damage.
So the number 11 being worn again, last worn by Josh Jenkins. Most games in number 11 at Geelong worn by?
Joel Corey.
Yep.
Peter Featherby.
Bernie Smith won number 11, yeah. won a Brownlow.
Yep.
Here's one
year. Who else has worn 11?
Percy Martini.
Oh, the Martini Meister.
Sounds like a drink. Yeah. I'll have a Percy Martini, thanks.
The old Percy Martini. Peter Featherby. What would it have in it?
An olive of some description. Peter Featherby, yeah, in his 93 games.
He had 52 possessions on day, didn't he?
He did. Peter Featherby. Melbourne. He was Western Australian. Might have coached Geelong Ammos too, I reckon, when he came off the Cats list.
Very good player, Peter Featherby.
Darren Morgan.
More goals. I reckon he moved from 36.
No, higher, I reckon. I reckon even higher.
I reckon he was 36 more goals.
Darren Morgan.
Darren Morgan.
Started in number 47.
47.
And then went to 36.
Ah, I knew I was right.
You've gone all over that. So he went from 47 in 84 to 36 in 85 to 11.
Left footer from South Bowen. He from South Bowen?
Well, no. He's from Belmont. The old Belmont Blues.
So now South Bowen.
Yeah, part of South Bowen.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Peter White played in that in 33, I reckon. He wore 33 in a similar type era.
He was from Bowen?
Yes.
Who did Darren Morgan take number 11 off?
Darren Morgan.
Took
number 11 off Greg Williams.
He did.
Yes.
Greg Williams wore number 11. Yeah, good.
Oh, geez.
You're on fire.
Alzheimer's not kicking in yet, Kingy. Not in any way, shape, or form. You are, sharp.
The least amount of games played in a number 11 belongs to Josh Jenkins, all two of them, and I think the last of them was round 1, 2021, in that disaster against Adelaide.
Right.
And that was it for him. We never saw him again. Who else wore it? Cameron Roberts wore it in the 90s.
Well, they touted him as the next Wayne Carey, Cameron. I remember that.
11 and games,
he,
2
he
goals.
He couldn't actually get out of his own way.
Darcy Lang wore it. Tim Kelly played 48 very, very good games in it.
Yes.
Alan Woodman wore it, who was a star locally, but was a very good league footballer.
I played with his brother at Wayne at Bannockburn.
Yeah, at Banner.
For one season.
Yeah.
Alan Woodman played at Barwon.
He did. He played at St Albans. He played at Anglesey. Yeah. Tim Evans, who went on to have a super...
Tim Evans?
He went on to have a super career with Port Adelaide in the
Greg's
sample.
Brother. from Perfect Match.
Ronnie Hosking, Mr. KFC in Geelong.
Right.
He wore number 11 for 70 games. Some interesting number 11s there. That we have just touched on, and he'll become
and
the
Cooper White. Where was he taken in the draft, Kingy?
He was in the 60s.
So he was a late pick.
He was Geelong's last pick.
He's a left footer.
In 2021.
For anybody who is unfamiliar with his work, he's a left footer, not that big.
Smooth.
Yeah, he does look a bit smooth, and he's a bit of a creator, albeit we haven't seen a huge amount of him. But, yeah, he looks like a good ball user, but he doesn't have size. And your concern would be at AFL level, particularly, you know, this week and in the early part of his career, his ability if he gets caught defending one-on-one. So, hats off to him. Let's hope he does well.
Yeah, so he becomes the 1,107th player at VFL AFL level for the Cats.
Cooper. They're making a lot of Coopers these days, aren't they?
Yeah, there are. Huh? Yep, there's Coopers. Yeah, it's not an uncommon...
The old... Have we got any bed sponsors?
No, we don't. Oh, yeah, Sam and Mattress Factory.
Yeah. Well, the mattress, they're manufacturing a lot of Coopers at the minute.
Right. Do you want some questions, Benny?
What? Yeah.
From the podcast?
Yeah, I love questions.
For the podcast from Big Footy. Yep. Firstly, too, you just want to pump up carrockfootball.live, too. So if you're heading to the MCG...
Yeah, get it on. Lock it on.
Whack it on your phone, sign in, and there's minimal, zero delay, basically. Minimal delay between what you hear and what's going on out on the MCG. Right, questions we have. How the 41, great to be back, not an ideal start, but it's not panic stations. Thought the forward line did pretty well with limited chances. Defence all held up despite injuries to Stewart and SDK being subdued. Felt Dangerfield, Guthrie, Blitz were well down. Expecting a lift from Hawk this week. Brad Close was also quite a Brad Close. That was probably Brad Close's quietest game for Geelong.
He was ineffectual.
Well, and he could have given Ollie Henry another goal if he had have actually just stepped between him and Dustin.
Or Ollie Henry could have handballed it to him and made an absolute certainty of it. Yeah.
Either or.
Yeah. Either of those scenarios would have resulted in a sausage roll, Kingy.
Like the games of Bruin and Ollie Henry, Bruin faded late but has a hunger for the contest, not just too dissimilar to me at the Geelong Sizzler All You Can Eat circa 1997.
Who's that from?
Howl or 41.
Yeah, that's Sizzler.
Which Sizzler was yours? Were you Belmont or North Geelong? Nor Lane, crossroad from the Ford factory where Godfrey is.
Belmont.
You went to the Belmont.
I grew up in Belmont.
Yep.
So I went. I did launch onto the Belmont Sizzler.
Yep.
The only thing I'll say about Sizzler, I think the last one just closed down.
Yeah, it was one on the Gold Coast.
Yeah. So they used to provide you with that piece of bread. I think we might have spoken about this before.
It expanded.
It turned into a high jump mat in your stomach. So you actually couldn't eat anything else. It was quite
that was the whole idea.
Yeah, 100%. But no, I did frequent the Sizzler. Hey, can you remember how much it was?
Oh, it was cheap.
It's like the Swagman.
Yeah. Did you ever go to the Swagman?
No, I never went to the Swagman, but it burnt down the Swagman. I've got a story. I can't tell about it. But there was a kid I used to go to school with, and he was obsessed with the Swagman.
Right.
Oh, I could used to sing that song, We Know Best, or something at the Swagman. Yeah, it was quite extraordinary. Look it up. Right. Look it up. It's right up there with Goombia Park when that pheasant went up. When that someone popped a rocket into that pheasant and blew its ass out. That is quite extraordinary. Oh.
Brendan McCartney only stopped laughing last week about that.
I know. Could you imagine, though, you go to the pub, you nestle up with your stool to the bar, and then you say to the bloke next to you, what'd you do yesterday? And he said, well, you won't believe this, but I took some explosives. That'd get your attention first, the word explosive. But then you think, oh, okay, well, what's happened here? And he said, I went and I put them into the ass of a giant pheasant out the front of a kid's fun park, and I blew it up. that would be a story I would love to tell my grandkids.
We did that in the K-Rock Hub, and Brendan McCartney was in the experts chair for that game. And Mac is a fairly composed character, is it fair to say? Composed, reserved.
Yeah.
He lost it.
He did.
Yeah.
And the tail, that pheasant lost its tail too, because... If you look that up, you can actually Google that. There's some quotes from somebody at the parks. It's something else rattled and the explosion was huge and there were fragments everywhere.
All right. Brandon Parfitt was on Friday night. I wonder if I can get some of what Brandon Parfitt was on Friday night. He ran around like a headless chook and got less touches than an obese fireman stripper. Oh, you're going to use that in the call, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Is that politically correct?
I don't know.
No, he was poor. But like I said, I'd be a little reticent just to...
Drop him off one.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yep.
If he played poorly this week, yes. But you might be right, King. He might be the sub.
Daz Broncos, on behalf of Geelong Big Footy, welcome back and thanks for going again in 23. We're only back because we're contractually obliged to. Who was the NFL player I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Marshawn Lynch.
Before a Super Bowl.
I'm only here so I don't get fined. He answered that to every question at the Super Bowl because every player has to be interviewed at the Super Bowl.
Was he Seattle?
He played for Seattle.
Yep.
He had more clubs than the old Canadian Seal as well. Right. He had 1,000 clubs.
Yep. KRockFootball.live is awesome. We agree. Kingy, how was the trip? Yes, I did a massive trip to United States. Best moment.
Did you catch up with Daz?
No, I didn't get a chance to, unfortunately. Didn't get back to. We were in LA early in the trip, Hollywood. And did Universal and Warner Brothers and all that sort of stuff and was planning to go back and we never got back. Best moment and best beer. The best beer I had is I had a Stanley Park lager in Vancouver and I had a lager in Solvang, which is a little Danish settled town in middle of California that was very nice as well. Best moment was kayaking in La Jolla, about 30 kilometres north of, or 30 minutes north of San Diego, in a protected marine reserve, and you're kayaking with leopard sharks and all sorts of sea life underneath you. It's actually quite enjoyable, and the clearest of clear blue water. It actually, you'll appreciate this, Ben, it sits between La Jolla Point, the beach, and the next point, Torrey Pines Golf Course.
Right.
Yeah.
La Jolla. Yep. Sounds like one of the Jacksons.
La Jolla Jackson. So it looks like La Jolla, J-O-L-L-A, but right. It's pronounced obviously in a Spanish.
Torrey Pines.
And Torrey Pines is at the northern end of that. And it was the longtime home of Dr. Seuss. He lived at La Jolla.
Cat in the Mat and the Sat and the Rat and the
Cat in the Hat.
Green Eggs and Ham.
Cream and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, the places you'll go. Quoted him when we left America. My last post on to our Facebook group was, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened." So, always
we're wheeling them out today.
Good wisdom there, Benny. What piece added to the Bengals will tip them over next season? Tight end, wide receiver, or
is this from Daz?
Yeah, he's got tight end, which is TE, WR, wide receiver. OR is
OR.
Yeah,
OT. It's probably meant to be offensive tackle,
or he meant or defender. He's capitalised, or I think he said tight end, wide receiver, or defender. So Ben follows Cincinnati very closely in the NFL.
Massive. I don't know. It's a good question.
You got a nice little present too.
Yeah, Kingy got me a stubby holder, a Bengal stubby holder, and I refreshed out of it on Saturday actually, and ended up quite refreshed.
Did you?
Yeah.
That is the danger.
I watched the races all day.
That is a danger of Geelong playing on Friday night.
Yes, that is. You had Saturday to refresh. But, well, I don't know. It's going to be a big year, Daz. Don't worry about the Bengals. They are right on the money. They are going to be right there when the whips crack. So I can't wait. They've been a crap franchise for 1,000 years until the last 2 years, thanks courtesy of Joseph Lee Burrow.
And for the real stuff, Sav really flashed well as a key defensive player versus the Pies. Sure, he made some clangers too, but in his first real four-point hit-out down back, he gave more than enough to be persisted with.
Sav?
Yep.
Oh, 100% he did. And I think he's the logical matchup this week for Kerno, and that is a key matchup. If he can do a good job on Kerno, and De Koning can do a key job on Mackay, that goes a long way to Geelong winning that game. I mean, Kerno had a very quiet game by his standards last week. He still managed to kick three goals.
Yep.
You get him off the chain, he's capable of kicking six or seven. So, and Geelong, you know, zipping two. I know it's a long, long way to go, but you don't want to be zipping two.
Fox Dog 50, boys, welcome back. Kingy, very disappointed in you on last week's show. In basic terms, you said Collingwood are actually likeable these days. If you don't follow Collingwood, you should hate them. He didn't say them, he used something else. I don't care who plays for them. Question about Shannon Neal. I think most people on here are looking forward to seeing him playing many years for the Geelong Football Club. I'd say with all the players that are out of contract, his one would be the one we'd like to see locked away first. How do we keep him keen and make him feel wanted? How do we give him more games when I think it's going to be hard to play all three in Hawkins, Cameron and Neal? He only signed a one-year contract extension.
Yeah, and he's with Cameron and Hawkins there, it's going to be very difficult to play him up forward.
What's Hawkins playing for? Just this year, or is he going two more? One more on top of this year.
I would have thought, barring something bizarre happening this year and he copping a serious injury, I think...
If they want another
flag. He looked underdone, though, Tom. He'll get better as the season unfolds. I don't expect him this week to suddenly jump up and be, Tom Hawkins of 2022. I think he's going to build into the season, and I don't think you'll see him return to his what you would classify his best form until maybe even the middle of the year. I know it sounds a long way away because he's played round one, but he looked a fair way off it, and Darcy Moore, capitalised and was particularly at crucial times, are probably one of the best defenders in the ground last week. So Tom's got some time to find his feet, and he's going to need to and work into the season, but which is exciting for Geelong fans because he's, you know, there's plenty to work on and plenty for him, along with other players, to build into the year as it goes.
Cats. Thanks for the live stream this year. Much easier than listening on the iPhone without delay than lugging the transistor radio into the ground.
The crystal set.
Benny, did you happen to catch Kane Corn's analysis of the Cats on the Sunday Footy Show, highlighting a few players' lack of defensive effort / complacency? You touched on it earlier.
Well, I get that, but I think... And yeah, I mean, I think if you looked at every game and you isolated 2 minutes here and a minute here, you'd probably find... lapses in concentration from players, and I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I just think to suggest there was an overall complacency about Geelong and that's why they lost, given that they'd kicked 16 goals to three-quarter time and actually led by as many as four goals in that game. Okay, they got overrun, but I don't know you'd be just saying complacency was the only reason that they as a reason as to why they lost.
And B. Davey 22. Morning, gents. Not for the pod, but just a general question. Is the pod available on Spotify? If so, can I please have a link? We are working on that.
We seem to be working on a lot of things.
I have spoken to our more intelligent members of staff than me, who can actually deal
not
with
Dave,
that.
Who used to be on a register. Is he still here? Is he gone? Not Davey Collins. Kingy just shakes his head, so this is a gag that we cannot say live on air because we would be absolutely off air within about 13 seconds. But it's I know it's not great for the podcast, but there's something humorous behind it. So if anybody sees me face-to-face, I'll be able to let them know exactly what that gag is.
Ben, a couple off the KFC Twitter, at KROC Football. Dave Twist, no Stewart and maybe no DeConing, plus Henry and Colo already come. Who comes out in and how do they set up? Well, DeConing will play. And we do know that Bowes and White are playing. So.
Well, I think Bowes too, Kingy, has played quite a bit of halfback at Gold Coast. So that's not
unfamiliar. Well.
He is. He's a very good user. So that's not unfamiliar to him. I wouldn't be surprised. I know it'd be a big call, but could White and Bowes... I mean, Bowes is an experienced player. He's played 80-odd games. Bowes and White come in and play in the back half. Hmm. Releases Tui to, again...
Back to the wing.
Go back to the wing. That's one option available.
Geelong lost... I know they, as you said, they kicked 16 goals for three-quarter time. He had two goals in the first.
He kicked the first two goals for the Cats.
Yeah, 10 minutes of the game.
Is Cooper White played as a midfielder
yes.
at the Falcons?
Yep.
Could he potentially play on the wing?
He could.
And Bowes and Tui become your rebounding halfbacks and give the that kid a bit of license to...
That is absolutely potential to happen.
Yeah, so at least there's some options there. And it's good that, you know, I mean, you can't replace Tom Stewart, but you've got Bowes there, and I know Geelong fans won't be familiar with him, but he is a pretty accomplished sort of player who still, his best is still ahead of him, and I think he can come in and play a role as a rebounding creative player.
All right, and the other question from Marshall, what is happening with Conway and Willis? Conway's obviously had the issues with the foot. James Willis we haven't heard a lot about. He'd want to get moving because he's in the second year of a two-year deal to start.
And, Mr. Drummond?
Yeah. What you talking about?
We need to ask Mr. Drummond.
Yeah, no.
And who was the other player?
Toby Conway.
He's 8'9", isn't he?
He had a foot issue, so they're just obviously taking their time.
Is he training?
I'm not sure exactly. I haven't watched training, so I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I would have to.
He's a few years away, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got
a second year player
with a foot issue. You just take
injury
your time.
Injury prone.
VFL boys play Friday night against Carlton, so it'll be interesting to see who lines up in that.
So we'll have a bit of an idea. Oh no, that's Thursday, isn't it?
Yep.
Oh, early game.
Yeah, Geelong. Yeah, then they've got a 10-day break.
And we've got Sean Higgins in the box tomorrow night.
Sean Higgins will be joining.
Be good to. I mean, he's got his old finger on the pulse of the current day team, which is he knows all those guys intimately. So it'll be good to be able to really just pump him thoroughly in the debriefing room.
Right. Benny.
Bye-bye, Kingy.